John chapter 2 in your Bible, John chapter 2. Now, while they were singing, and my mind was slipping back over the years. Wow. Watching them come in every school day to clean toilets. Their husbands probably had the cleanest toilets of any husbands anywhere. I bet they have nightmares about washing toilets. That's how they went to school here. Wash toilets. That's a blessing, amen? All right, guys. You guys aren't used to being in here. And you're used to a lot more exciting preacher than I am. preaching to you. But this is what we got this morning. So do me a favor. Sit up straight. Put your hands in your lap. Look down here. And I think you can figure out what we're talking about today and let the Lord use it. We're not going to stand. We're just going to remain seated. Everybody's seated. Once you get everybody seated, you know, like upstairs, you don't want to bother with that. Amen. So we'll just remain seated. Okay. Look at verse number 7. We usually stand. Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom and saith unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine when men have well drunk, then that which is worse, but thou hast kept the good wine until now. I want to talk to you this morning about experiencing a blessing, experiencing a miracle. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. We thank you for the privilege to have church. Our hearts are full at your grace, your mercy, your love. Lord, everything that we've rejoiced in this morning is because of you, ultimately. It's all because of you. It's because of your truth. It's because of your spirit. It's because of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. It's just all because of you. And we just pray that you'll continue to help in the time of preaching and a lot of young kids here, Lord, who aren't normally here for this service. They're in class. Help us all to pay attention. May the Holy Ghost arrest our thoughts this morning. Fill me, fill listener, fill all of us with your spirit. Help us, I pray in Christ's name and amen. One of the most embarrassing things that can happen to a family that is hosting a meal is to run out of food. Ladies have nightmares about that. That's their worst nightmare. Having people only for a meal, only to find out that she doesn't have enough food. I remember you've heard me talk about this. One year when Brother Don was still our school principal, we went to Atlanta when my folks were still living there. This is way back. My goodness, I think Danny Gardner was on that trip. That's how far back it was. He was a senior. And we went to Atlanta and some things around Atlanta. And my parents were still living there, and they had us over for a meal. And we had a rather large group that year, about 12 or 13 kids, Brother Don and I. And Mom made taco salad. But it had been a while since she had made taco salad for a bunch of young people. And Brother Don and I were standing in the back of the line as the kids went by the kitchen table. And I'm watching that bowl, and I'm wondering if we're going to have a 5 pieces of bread, 2 pieces of fish miracle here, because that thing's getting empty. And when those kids went by, they were piling it on, and I could see the color draining from my mother's face. And, you know, just horror of horrors. And before it got to me and Brother Don, it was gone. She was mortified. Well, man, we opened the refrigerator. There's leftover turnip greens in there, leftover black-eyed peas, leftover squash, leftover all this nutritious, healthy marriage supper of the lamb type food in the refrigerator. It didn't bother Brother Don and I at all to eat those leftovers. But I just remember her face as she watched, mortified, the food run out. Now, it's one thing to run out of food when you have a small group of people over for a meal. It's something altogether different when you run out of food at an event with a large crowd, like a wedding reception. Wedding receptions are not the place to experience a food or drink shortage. But that's exactly what happened here at this wedding feast in Cana of Galilee. Jesus and his disciples had been invited to this wedding feast. So either the bride or the bridegroom's family knew Jesus and his disciples invited him to come. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was there as well. At some point, they ran out of wine. And this was a big deal. These wedding feasts were festive occasions. The Jewish wedding feasts are festive. And there's lots of food and lots of drink available for the invited guests. And to run out of food or drink was absolutely the last thing the host wanted to happen. So Mary finds out she's the mother of Jesus. And she lets him know that there is a shortage. And Jesus commanded the servants to fill the water pots with water. And then he worked the first miracle of his public ministry by turning the water into wine. And the problem was solved. There was enough wine for everybody to drink, and the hosts were spared horrible embarrassment. So that's the miracle. Now, before I point out some lessons for us, I want to briefly address the idea that this wine was of the intoxicating variety. Because it wasn't. I will never believe that Jesus Christ turned water into the kind of wine that could make a person drunk. Not when Proverbs 20 verse 1 says, where wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Now, I've already mentioned in those days, Jewish wedding feasts were extremely festive events. If intoxicating wine had been served by Jesus, no doubt many would have become drunk. You'll never convince me that Jesus would put people in a place of temptation by creating a fermented wine for them to drink. Not when the Bible plainly says that wine makes a fool out of a person. Not when Solomon gave a command not to even look on the kind of wine that has the potential to make someone drunk. You say, well, what kind of wine was it? It was Bible wine. It was the fresh fruit of the vine. It was fresh juice made from grapes. It was rich. It was delicious. And no one would come close to getting drunk by drinking it. Jesus would not have been a part of something that had the potential to deceive people. Period. Enough said about that. Okay. Now, excuse me, I want to point out a couple of lessons, three this morning, that might get overlooked in this story. How does it pertain to me and you? What can we learn from it? Number one, commands precede blessings. Commands precede blessings. Now, listen carefully. In verse number 7, Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. So here was a simple command given before the water could be turned into wine. Now, people, turning the water into wine was a great blessing for the people. But before the blessing, there was a command. And listen, a word of command always goes before the blessing that can be enjoyed. Let me give you some examples. To the blind man, Jesus said, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. He gave him a command before he restored his sight. To the man with the limp arm, Jesus said, stretch forth thine hand. There was a command before Jesus healed his arm. To the paralytic man who was born of 4, Jesus said, arise and take up thy bed. And he healed that man. To Lazarus, who had been 4 days dead in the tomb, Jesus said, come forth. So there was a command, now watch this, that had to be obeyed before the blessing could be enjoyed, before the blessing could be bestowed. You know what? Nothing has changed. That still remains the same today. We all want the blessings of God. We have families and we have jobs and we have health and we have friends to be concerned about. And we want the best of blessings in all of those areas. And you know what? God is able to bless us in all of those areas, but His blessings follow commands. They follow commands. There's always a command to obey before the blessing can be enjoyed. Almost all, if not all of God's blessings are preceded by a command. In other words, church, we cannot claim the blessings of part of a verse without obeying the commands in the other part. Ask, and it shall be given you. There's a command, and then a blessing. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Give, and it shall be given unto you. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Judge not, that ye be not judged. Call upon me, and I will answer thee. How about this one? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That's a blessing to be saved. That's a wonderful blessing to be saved. Okay? Are you listening? Now look, I lost some of you on the comments about the wine. Just understand, folks, that that's what the Bible teaches. I'm just giving you what the Word of God teaches. I'm not shooting at anybody in here. I'm responsible to preach truth, okay? And I just want to make that clear. With all these kids sitting in here, all of our kids sitting in here, I want to make that very clear. Now, I lost some of you. Don't sit there and pout the rest of the whole message and miss out on something that God may have for you this morning. Amen? Don't do that. Now, it's a blessing to be saved. But you're not going to be saved by osmosis. You're not going to be saved by growing into it because your daddy's saved, your mama's saved, your grandma's saved, grandpa was saved. You get saved by believing, by trusting in the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ to save you from your sin. And if you will obey God and repent and trust Him, trust Christ, guess what? The blessing will follow. You'll be born into God's family. So there's always a command to be obeyed before the blessing can be bestowed. All the promises are preceded by a command. We cannot claim the promise without first obeying the responsibility of the command. Now, look, if the water was to be turned into wine, who was going to do it? The disciples? The governor of the feast? He was probably frantic. Running, he's responsible for the food and drink. He's out of wine. He's frantic. The bride or the bridegroom, the mother of Jesus, the servants. Were any of those folks able to turn the water into wine? No, 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 and no. Only Jesus could turn the water into wine. But wait a minute. Jesus would not. I didn't say could not. I said would not. There's a difference between could not and would not. Jesus would not perform the miracle until the water pots were full. Somebody had to obey Jesus before he could bestow the blessing on the entire feast. Maybe the reason we don't see miracles in our lives, maybe the reason some people don't enjoy the blessings they should enjoy, is because we're not filling the water pots to the brim. Are you filling the water pots? I'm not talking about a literal water pot. We don't have those anymore. I'm talking about obeying the commands. Jesus is waiting to give us the reward of the promise until he sees us fulfilling the responsibility of the command. We don't do anything in the way of obeying his commands, and then we quietly complain that God doesn't keep his promises. He keeps his promises to those that obey his commands. He'll keep his promises, but you've got to fill the water pot. You've got to fill the water pot. We should not expect blessings apart from obedience. Commands precede blessings. Fill the water pots. What are you saying? I'm saying take God's commands seriously. People, they're commands. They're not suggestions. They're not optional. They're commands. And when we obey the... He didn't tell the servants, hey, get together and discuss this. See if you like this. See if you like this way of doing it. No discussion. Fill the water pots. Does that sound like a command to you? Fill the water pots. Was he being cruel? No. He had a great blessing to bestow upon that whole crowd of people, but he wasn't going to bestow the blessing until there was first obedience. Commands are the thresholds to blessings. You know what a threshold is, right? Where you walk through the door. You walk from this room to the foyer. You walk from this room back to the hallway, the corridor back here. You walk through the threshold. A command is a threshold to a blessing. You walk through the command into the blessing. There's always a measure of blessing that results from obeying a command. By the way, if you have the right kind of home, your children are at home and you're teaching them right, you teach them this. They don't get rewarded without obeying. We were down there in Mississippi for little Chelsea's birth. And it's hot in Mississippi, hot and sultry like it is here now. It's most of the summer like that down there. And so Leah keeps a freezer full of freeze pops. Full. And in their home, they do what they want to do. In their home, the freezer is right there on the bottom of it. You know what I'm talking about? The refrigerator has on top, the freezer's on the bottom. And so it's fair game. It's fair game. I mean, those kids are eating freeze pops at 8:45 in the morning. Unless they leave the wrapper on the porch. And if they leave the wrapper on the porch, no freeze pops. I was in the living room, the family room there one day. It opens up to the front porch, and Pete had been at the church, and it was late in the evening, late in the afternoon. He came in, and when he came through the door, Brother Allen, he had two empty freeze pop wrappers. Two of them. called all the boys together and said, "Tomorrow, no freeze pops." And then you know it was started. "It's not mine. It's not mine. It's not mine." There's only three of them. All three of them said, "Not mine." I said, "Shame on you, Leah, leaving your freeze pop wrapper on the ground." Good grief. Blame it on Chelsea, right? No. No freeze pops the whole next day. You talk about disappointment. You talk about long faces. I mean, you'd have thought, you thought the end of the world had come. No freeze pops. But you know what a dad, you know what a dad's doing there? The command is, you eat the freeze pop, you throw the wrapper in the trash. If you don't obey, you don't get rewarded. So don't get mad at God when you do the same thing in your home. You do that, we do that with our children, then God does that with us. We get put out of it. We get bent out of shape. "Oh, God said he would do this, and I don't see him doing it." Are you filling the water pots? Are you obeying God? Commands precede blessing. Commands precede blessing. Number two, let me point this out this morning. Commands, this may sound rough, but it's the truth. Commands are not to be questioned. In verse number 7, again, Jesus said to them, "Fill the water pots with water." And they called a council meeting and got together, Democrats and Republicans, and tried to be bipartisan solution to the whole situation. Is that what you read there? No. What do we read? "And they filled the water, they filled them up to the brim." Verse number 8, "Draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast." And they argued and said, "No, what does it say?" And they bear it. Now, you know what, folks? Really, think about it. Stop. They could have questioned. Fill the water pots with water? You know what most of us would have said? Wait, Master, we don't need water, we need wine. These people are expecting fresh juice. We bring them a glass of plain old water, they're going to be disappointed. That's not what goes on in the wedding feast. And water pots? People, do you understand? Water pots were not for drinking from. Water pots were for washing. All the Jews had those washing laws. Fill the water pots with water? They could have questioned. They could have looked and crossed their arms and said, "Why?" But that's not what happened. They did exactly what Jesus said. In fact, they had been encouraged by Mary in verse number 5. Look at what she said to the servants. "Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it." Do what he tells you to do. You don't have to wait till you have full understanding to obey the command. Do what God tells you to do. And you know what that is? That's contrary to the desires of our old nature. We want to know why. Now, I'm going to challenge every dad and mom here this morning. At some point in time with your children, you told them to do something, and they looked at you and said and asked, "Why?" And how did you respond? Don't ask me why. Just do it. That's an archaic form of parenting. Archaic works pretty good compared to what's the norm today. Now, we do that with our children and don't think a thing about it. And then God gives us a command to follow in His Word, and we hesitate and we cross our arms and fold and we reason and we logic and, "Lord, I don't know, and should I, and what about this, and I don't know about this," and we hesitate in obeying God's commands and because I don't understand it. As servants, we may not always understand the intentions of the Master, but we can still obey the Master. I work jobs before I went to the ministry, so I'd never have to work again. Man. I was told to do things sometimes that didn't make sense to me at all. Not a bit. But I'm not the boss. I do what the boss says. Now, one time that really got embarrassing because they played a trick on me when I was new at the grocery store and had finally gotten my drive. I don't think I even had my driver's license. I had my what do you call that thing, permit. Mom probably don't even know about this, so she hears stuff once in a while that she never heard about. And so we had a Dairy Queen not far away, and they sold chili cheese slaw dogs. A chili cheese slaw dog is probably the main course at the marriage supper of the Lamb someday. Chili cheese slaw dog. And Stan Otto and Jim Ramsey said, "Hey, Terry, you're jumping the car, run down to Dairy Queen," threw me the keys to the truck. He had a truck. "Go down to Dairy Queen and get us, I don't know how many chili cheese slaw dogs for lunch." And Stan said, "Yeah, get us a pound of duck butter." I said, "What?" He said, "A pound of duck butter." I said, "I don't know what that." He said, "Oh, it's delicious. Just ask for it." Well, I'm the rookie. I'm the new man on the totem pole. You know, I don't want to mess up with anything, you know. So I'm standing in line waiting. I get to the window. And, "What do you want? Give me this many chili cheese slaw dogs and a pound of duck butter." They said, "A pound of what?" "Pound of duck butter." We don't sell duck butter. I have no idea what that conversation was after I left the window, but I bet it went something like, "That guy's lost his mind, man. A pound of duck butter." But most of the time, the boss told me to do something. I may not have understood his intentions, but you know what? I didn't have to understand. I just had to obey. You know, it's the same way with God. Fill the water pots. Why? You don't have to know why. I don't believe it is always necessary for parents to explain in great detail the commands that they give to their children. Sometimes it's good for children just to obey because what? I told you so. And that's good enough. And you know what? We need to have the same relationship with God. You know, we don't have to understand all the reasons for reading the Bible. We just need to do it. We don't have to understand all the reasons for praying. We just need to do it. We don't have to understand all the reasons for going to church faithfully. We just need to do it. We don't have to understand all the reasons for getting baptized. We just need to do it. We don't need to understand all the reasons for witnessing. We just need to do it. We don't have to understand all the reasons to tithe from our income. We just need to do it. We don't have to understand all the reasons for joining a church. We just need to do it. Because commands don't always have to be understood to be obeyed. It's obeyed. You know, this is the truth. Many times, Catholics who get saved make great Christians. They were raised in Catholicism to be obedient to the church, the priest and the nuns. They were raised not to question, but to obey. You say, "What do you think? You think that's..." I'm not advocating for that kind of papal or pastoral authority. I am saying that you and I could use a little bit of that attitude of God. We should be obedient to the commands of Christ, realizing, don't miss this, that obedience is primary, understanding is secondary. If you got that down, if that's the only thing you take home from this morning, you'll have benefited by being in church. Obedience is primary. Understanding is secondary. And I'm not going to, because I want to get done this morning. I'm going to be linger in this service for obvious reasons. Attention span. But I could go to 2 Peter and show you where the biblical critical plan for growth is obedience before knowledge. And we got such an arrogant generation today. Now you got to tell me why before I obey. Really? your water pots will never be full. There's a lot of things in the Christian life that we obey and then come to full understanding later. I wouldn't be saved, a member of God's family, if I was waiting to understand salvation. I still don't understand how God could take a filthy old sinner who deserved hell, whose life was wretched, and wash me clean in the sacrificial blood of Christ. I still don't understand it, but I am eaten up with being saved this morning because I believed it before I understood it. No, Brother Luke, I've never gotten over being saved. What a great choir song. Commands should not be questioned. If you want to experience a blessing in life, experience a miracle, commands should not be questioned. They should be obeyed. Fill up the water pots. And they did it. Okay, take it out and bear it to the governor. And they bear it. They obeyed. They may not have understood it. Do you think they understood it? But they obeyed. Number three, I'm done. Commands should be carried out zealously. Look at verse number 7. This one verse is amazing. And they filled them up to the brim. Now, did Jesus tell them to fill them to the brim? No. He just said, fill the water pots. Let me ask you a question. If you got a cup of coffee and it's an eighth of an inch from the lip of the coffee cup, is that full for you? That's full for me. When you make the mistake of filling it to the brim, now you got a problem. Here's the coffee cup on the counter, and if you move it, what's happening? Yeah, so you know the answer, right? You don't do that, absolutely. And maybe two or three times. No, they were not told, but the servants, they could have filled the water pots just short of the top. And everybody there would have said, oh, those water pots are full. But they filled them to the edge right before the water was. You say, why did they do that? I think it has something to do with the fact that the mother of Jesus told them, whatever he tells you to do, do it. So maybe there's a premonition here with the servants. Like we're on the edge of seeing something real big. This is something going to happen. So they fill those things all the way to the top, the very brim. Church, this is the wisest way to obey the commands of Christ. Obey them to the brim. Look, you may only read the Bible for 10 minutes a day, but fill that time to the brim. You don't sit here, you give 10 minutes to your Bible reading, and you got your Bible open, you got your phone over here, and you're reading along, and out of peripheral vision, the phone lights up, and it's, and the phone lights up, and then it's something else, and fill the time to the brim. You may only pray for 5-10 minutes a day, but fill the time to the brim. For me, early morning, I can't pray on my knees. I know that. I know what's going to happen. Lord Jesus, thank you for the good night's sleep last night. The best day. I'm talking long time. You don't fall asleep. Absolutely. Not all the time, but too many times. So I got to pray sitting up. I got to pray on the edge of my seat. I got to move out on the edge of my seat. I got to sit up like this. I got to be like I'm anticipating. And I am. I'm getting to talk to the God of heaven. Fill the time to the brim. Go to the church. Go to church to the brim. Come planning on participating and anticipating a blessing. You may only go out to witness 1 hour a week. Fill the time to the brim. Folks, are you going to obey Christ to the brim? Or are you just going to fill the water pot half full? Three quarters full, maybe one third full. And by the way, listen very carefully. You know what that's called? That's called a breath. You know what that means? I'm still living. You just took a breath too. You know what that means? You're still living. Guess what? Now is our chance to obey the command zealously. Now is our chance, our opportunity to fill the pots to the brim. Ecclesiastes 9:10 says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. Now don't miss this next part. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. So when we stop breathing here and life here on this earth ends, we will be done with our opportunity to serve Christ fully. Some people will realize too late that they should have filled the pots of their life to the brim. They're going to get to heaven only to realize they should have been more zealous in obeying Christ. I'll tell you something worse than that. It's to breathe your last breath here, wake up in the flames of hell, and realize that you didn't obey the command of God to repent and trust Christ, and now the opportunity is gone. That's worse. That's worse. You're living, you're breathing. I'm living, I'm breathing. This is our opportunity to obey the commands, to experience the blessing. Obey even if I don't understand it. Obey it fully. Fill my life full to the brim of obeying God, because one of these days, the opportunity will be done. Now listen. You know what God wants? I tell you what God wants without apology, without unequivocally. God wants for each one of us to experience a life of blessing, joy, and victory. You know that none of us can work that up for ourselves? None of us can do that ourselves. Only God can give those things. Who could turn the water into wine? The servants? The governor? Who can give Terry Angel a life of joy, victory, blessing? Terry Angel, not in your life. Only God can do that. And God wants us to have that kind of life. But you and I are going to have to fill the water pots. And everybody here and everybody there can fill the water pots of your life. You can obey God. What stops some people from enjoying the full life God wants them to enjoy has nothing to do with their education, their physique, their ethnicity, their financial status, or their age. Some people just never fill the pots. Never fill them. So understand that blessings follow when we obey God's commands. We don't have to understand all about the command to obey it. Just like your children don't have to understand everything you tell them to do. And if we will fill the pots to the brim, we can enjoy the best God has for us. Start filling the water pots and start today. I may not even have mentioned the area in life where you're not filling the water pots in the Christian life, but the Holy Spirit of God slipped by your pew while I was preaching and said, you know what? You're only a third full right here. You're only a half full right here. And you look at this Christian life, it isn't all it's cracked up to be. Excuse me? I'm sorry, what? You're pinning that on God? Don't pin that on God. Here's all these promises. But you're going to have to obey. And when you obey, it's the threshold to blessing. Fill the water pot. Fill them up all the way. And experience a blessing. A miracle. Miracle life. that God has for us. Let's pray together. Thank you for listening. You guys upstairs did a great job this morning. Thank you. Stay with me. Don't start moving around, messing around. Listen very carefully. Listen very carefully. I'm going to pray in just a minute. Before I pray and finish start the invitation, I just got a couple questions for you to ponder. Please think on these things while your heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Don't shut your ears off. How many of you would say, Pastor, somewhere throughout the course of the message today, the Spirit of God visited my heart? Visited my heart. The Spirit of God visited my heart specifically throughout the course of the message today. If that's you, would you acknowledge that before God this morning by just slipping your hand in the air and saying, Pastor, that's me. The Spirit of God visited my heart today while I'm preaching, while you're preaching. I see your hands. God bless you. Commands are the threshold to blessings. Walk through the command into the blessing. Don't hesitate. Listen, some of you, I'm going to be very blunt. Some of you are dragging your feet in areas of obedience to Christ for whatever reason you come up with. But there, the blessing that goes with that command is not going to take place until you obey Him. Pastor, there's an area in my life I'm hesitant, I am holding out, and I'm going to be honest enough to admit it and ask you to pray with me about that. Is that you this morning? Can I see your hand? Slip it up in the air. I see that. God bless you. Somebody else? I'm holding out. Now, here's a bigger question. I wonder if you're here this morning and you're not saved. You don't have the blessings of sins forgiven. You don't have the blessings of knowing for sure you're going to heaven because you're not saved. But there's a command to obey. And that command is to put all your faith and trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ to save you from your sin. Pastor Angel, I'm not sure that I'm saved. I'm not sure that I'm going to heaven someday. And that concerns me. If that's you, would you slip your hand in the air when nobody's looking? Just slip it up. Take it right back down. I'm not sure that I'm saved. Not sure that I'm saved. If you've been saved, haven't been baptized, there's one of those commands that has a blessing with it. Maybe you need to follow the Lord and believers' baptism this morning. Just come and obey Christ and enjoy the blessing. If you've talked to us about joining the church, it's all settled. Do it. Enjoy the blessing. Father, I thank you for your book. I thank you for the lessons it teaches us. Thank you for this wonderful miracle that Jesus worked in Cana of Galilee. I pray, God, that you'll help us, please, all of us, to understand these truths. Commands precede blessings. Commands don't have to be understood to be obeyed. And we should live out our commands zealously, trusting you. Speak to our hearts this morning as only you can. I pray for anybody here not saved. I pray for some who need to follow the Lord in baptism. I pray for others that lifted a hand for some reason. Meet that need this morning is my prayer in Christ's name. Let's stand together. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. The altar is open. The invitation begins. I trust that you'll be faithful this morning to respond as God spoke to your heart. Many, many hands were raised. Don't hold back now. This is the time. This is the time to obey God. This is it. While we wait this morning. That blessing is there. That blessing is not just for a certain clientele of people. That blessing is not just for a certain color skin or a certain financial status. That blessing is there for any child of God who will step through the threshold of the command. Just step through. Whatever God visited you about this morning, would you come? If you need to be saved, tell one of these men standing down here, I'm not sure I'm saved. I don't know where I'm going when I die. If you know you're saved, you need to follow the Lord and believers' baptism, then just obey. You obey the Lord this morning. Let God work a blessing, maybe even a miracle in your life because of obedience. While we wait, you come this morning, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. We'll wait just patiently another minute or two. Our Father, I thank you for the privilege to be in church today, to enjoy all that our hearts have been helped by. Lord, the beautiful singing, the congregational music, the choir, the trio, these young ladies. And Lord, just your book, your eternal truth. God, help us to embrace it, to grab a hold to it, to obey you, and enjoy the blessings and even the miracles that result from obedience. We thank you for it in Christ's name. Amen.